This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now, you may be aware there are 8 planets in Aries this month, which is a thing that's never been happened before, ever. So things are all really changing. So Pam's now going to tell us about next week when Uranus enters Gemini on the 25th and 26th.
Hi everyone, I'm going to be talking to you today about Uranus moving into Gemini. Now this is quite a big deal because Uranus has an 84-year orbit, so it hasn't been in Gemini since 1949, and it's going to be moving out of Taurus and into Gemini either on the 25th of April if you live in the US, or the 26th of April in the early hours in the UK, Western Europe, and onwards east. And it's going to stay there until 2033. So this is a big deal, and it's the last of the outer planets to move into a different sign, a new sign, because between November 2024, when Pluto finally moved into Aquarius, then we had Saturn, Neptune early in the year moving into Aries, and now the final outer planet, Uranus, moving from Taurus into Gemini. And that completes the outer planet shift. So there's a big shift in energy, we'll feel, moving from slow, heavy, dense water and earth into air and fire, which are very quick and very dynamic, as well as it being the year of the fire horse, as well as us being in a huge stellium of Aries energy as well. Now, until it moves into Gemini, Uranus is right at the, well, from the 6th of April all the way through to the 25th, 26th, it is at the anoretic degree, the very last degree of Taurus. And often that degree has a kind of urgency or extreme expression around the symbolism of the sign. You know, if we look back to the 11th of March 2011, the Fukushima disaster, Uranus was right at the final whisper. It was within about 3 degrees of moving from Pisces into Aries. And at the same time, Neptune was at the anoretic degree, the very last few minutes of Aquarius moving into Pisces. So they were in each other's signs, which is called mutual reception, which strengthens that even more because it suggests that they are in conjunction. And what happened then, as we know, there was a 9+ magnitude earthquake, Uranus, planet of earthquakes, and that caused huge meltdown in the nuclear reactors. Uranus, think of uranium nuclear reactors, and a lot of radioactive pollution in the water. Neptune, water, Pisces, water in the seas. And so the symbolism was very, very clear then. So hopefully it won't be quite so dramatic, but the Taurus is linked to, again, fixed earth. It could be more seismic activity. We'll see around this time. I mean, April is very hyped up, intense energy, as I've spoken about and many other astrologers are talking about as well. But that it could be something earth-based, seismic activity, earthquakes, volcanoes, could be something to do with the banking system, finance, because Taurus is also linked to that. It also could be agriculture, food, and resources. Resources, you know, thinking of food, because also if the current situation with the blockages in the Straits of Hormuz, it's not only blocking oil. Remember, Neptune is linked to oil, that's still on the world axis, throwing oil onto the public stage in a big way, but it's also blocking fertilizers to help food growth. So all of this is expressing very, very clearly, symbolically. Now, I filmed a video about 9 months ago because Uranus did move into Gemini for a period of the middle months of last year. All the outer planets, as I say, are at the beginning of their new cycle. So Saturn will stay in Aries until April 2028. Neptune will stay in Aries until 2039. Uranus, as I say, moving into Gemini, will stay there till 2033. And Pluto, which moved into Aquarius fully, as I said, in November 24, will stay there until January 2044. So these are long periods of time. And I absolutely believe that this is the beginning of a new paradigm for humanity. We are in this crucible of change because of all the other bigger cycles I've talked about, the unique astrological configuration I've talked so much about, the big picture, big long cycles, medium cycles, shorter cycles, were all cascading down into this real crucible of change and shift and transformation. This year settles, I believe, a little bit more next year, and we're going to see a lot more evidence, a lot more green shoots of new Earth, but they're all over the place. You just have to be on that frequency to see them manifesting. This is about embodiment. This whole thing, whatever I'm talking about, the planets out there, this whole thing, as always, is an inside job. These are inner frequency shifts, but we have the illusion that they're manifesting in our outer reality. So, you know, this idea of the work being inner is absolutely crucial to everything I'm going to be saying. So very big change in energy. I believe this is actually linked to a rewiring of our brains. And the reason I say that is Gemini is very linked to our neural networks, our thinking processes, and Uranus is the planet of electricity. So it's like there's a new electrical wiring just beginning to take place as Uranus enters Gemini. And so that is incredibly exciting. It would be very easy to get overstimulated at this time. There's going to be so much happening apparently in our outer world. We can see it already. A lot of big news, a lot of events, but also even on social media, it's a blizzard. So really try not to get caught up in the blizzard. You know, you can observe, but pull back. It's very easy to get caught into doom scrolling and, you know, down the what's it called, the scroll hole, as Tim Wilde beautifully said. So keep coming back. Make your inner focus your default position, rather than constantly looking at news, social media, because they're going to be very colourful and very dramatic, but they're going to be an awful lot of zigzags, yes, no, here, gone, is he a good guy, is he a bad, you know, it's going to be absolutely exhausting. So save your energy for your evolution, much better use of it. So this is about new perspectives that we're going to have, I think, new perspectives, and it's like all of our lives, we've been living behind a dirty, a slightly muddy window. And then all of a sudden, both with all this Aries energy and with Uranus moving into Gemini, we get a much greater sense of piercing clarity. We can see clearly. Yes, there's going to be all kinds of muddled, and with AI, is it real, is it not? But if you turn your attention away from that to your intuition, it's going to be we're going to be able to intuit very clearly. It's going to be piercing truth. Some of those truths are going to be uncomfortable. Some are going to be very welcome. But big, big time of revelation. So a new perspective and a much bigger, broader perspective. Much bigger. It's like we've been just living on this narrow tram track, but all of a sudden, it's like you've been living in a small dark house your whole life, and this is the day that you actually step out. And it's just the beginning. Remember, we've got a long way to go, but we're at the beginning of this upshift, this major upgrade for humanity, when for the very first time you step out of the house into the sunshine. And you see the trees and the sky and the birds and all the beautiful flowers. It's that kind of a quantum shift that I think we're gonna see. And so it's going to be because Gemini is multidimensional. Well, it's mutable air. So I keep getting this image of somebody blowing a dandelion head with all of the spores, and the spores go in every direction. You know, it's mutable air. It's divergent energy. So this is it's like when you shine light through a prism and it splits. It's that kind of image, but it's invisible. It's, you know, so this is going to open us up to our different clairs, multidimensionality. We may be, as we move through this over the months and years, remember, you know, just the beginning, we've got a lot to come. We may be talking to trees, we may be communicating with elementals, we may be having a conversation with the plants, we could be sharing time with our galactic family. You know, it could be that big, and we're all going to be at different points at different times. And don't judge, you know, think that you're in a yoga class, you run your own race. You don't judge your progress. In fact, you don't judge your progress at all, really, because it's judgment by how anybody else is doing. We're all on our own soul's journey. But there will be this feeling of expansion for sure. This big, big feeling of expansion and a vast paradigm. And this is going to change our patterns of thinking. I believe that ultimately we will, our inner system is turning into what I want to call a heart-mind system. And we've been so dominated by our brains and our intellect and the information age. Now the shift is to the heart. The heart is going to be our navigation tool in terms of intuiting, feeling other people's energy, feeling the energy in a room or a circumstance, you know, just tuning in as to whether that particular event is right for you, etc., etc. So the mind is going to be subservient to the heart as the time goes on, rather than dominant. And try and kind of step into that already. So you're living into it from your intuition and your heart. And what really helps, Uranus is very much connected to being in the moment, right now, not fretting about the past, not worrying about the future, in the moment. And you can often feel those states if you paint or you draw, or you're listening to music, or you write poetry, or you're candle gazing, or you're meditating. You know, you're just in no time. You drop into no time. And that's what I mean by just being in the moment, in the present. You know, think of Eckhart Tolle's brilliant book, The Power of Now. And that's where the only place your power really lies, in the now. And I can get it in nature. You know, I can get it in nature just going to one of my favorite beech trees and connecting with him or her or whatever, and just feeling I'm in the moment in this connection. So that's what you want to cultivate, and that will get us off this kind of linear time. But together, what's helping the clarity is the stellium in Aries, this lineup in Aries, because that is also to do with independence, sovereignty, self-sufficiency, being a pioneer, taking a risk. And of course, Uranus is the maverick, the outsider, the one who doesn't fit, the one who wants to break the rules, break up the status quo. Because when we have strong periods of Uranus, it is always about wanting more freedom, a greater shift to freedom, because Uranus is the planet of freedom. There's a revolutionary, rebellious urge that comes up with Uranus. I want to be free. I want to be my own person. I don't want to obey the rules. I want to follow my absolute truth and authenticity in terms of who I am. And so you may be having, you know, very strong feelings in that area as well. And they will be right on time as well. Okay, so this is happening in the UK. It's happening very early. We are now in British summertime, so that's actually 1:52 on the clock, almost 2 a.m. And adjust for your own time zone. So ignore the clock face, ignore the houses. We're just looking at where the planets fall and their aspects to each other. And so here we see that Uranus is just 00, has just entered Gemini. And I'll come back to that very important point, because that's what we're here to talk about. But just a couple of other things I want to pick up. And as I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm covering the prevailing astrology and other updates. It's interesting here that Mars is in its own sign, very dynamic in Aries. Try and align yourself with divine will with this rather than primal, instinctive, reactive will. You know, try and raise it to have a spiritual focus. It is conjunct Salacia, and I think we are going to discover so much about water. I think water is going to be on our public stage in a much bigger way, partly thanks to Beda Austin's beautiful work and, of course, Randy Hatton, who I spoke to recently too. So this is going to really energize this sense of sovereignty, independence, all those things I've just talked about. Do something new. Take action to do something new that is very likely to have a creative or spiritual context to it, whatever that is. Could be something you've never done before. But see where Aries as a sign falls in your chart, and that will give you a good clue. That looking at where the sign Aries falls in your chart will give you a good idea of how this might manifest. And Aries, when it's moving through any house, it energizes the affairs of that house. So fourth house, there's going to be an awful lot going on in your home. It could be redecorating, rebuilding, you know, a lot happening there. Fifth house, that's highly creative. Sixth house, that's your work and your health, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with all of this dynamic, fast, very kind of quickfire energy, it does help that the sun has now moved into Taurus. Taurus fixed Earth, and that does help to bring in more stability. And we're now moving into Taurus season, of course, so more on that in my upcoming updates. But we also have here Jupiter square to Mercury. And this is wonderful in terms of big plans, future visions, where we may want to live. Cancer, who our future family. Cancer will be, it may not be our biological family, it may be, it may not. And how to feel more emotionally secure, Cancer, than we may have felt in the past. This can also blow up the news in a bigger way, blow up information and facts in a bigger way. Now, I've talked at length in a recent update about Eris and Chiron. So just the other thing to note here is Jupiter is semi-square to Uranus. So as Uranus enters Gemini, there could be some shock or surprise for many people that can feel a little bit destabilizing, because Taurus is the sun in Taurus here is the only Earth we have here, the only planet in Earth. So let the old fall away. We can see corruption writ large everywhere, right on time for the astrology. Been expecting that, talking about that for the last 18 months at least. Let it all go. Let the old systems crumble. Try not to give it your attention, because your energy is actually life support. And we don't want that kind of system. I think virtually nobody would want that kind of system to continue. We want to birth something much more loving, compassionate and abundant for all. So turn your focus to what you want to create. Just to point out, the moon is at the aneretic degree here of Leo, 2953. It's quite interesting that this is just 4 minutes away from the US president's ascendant. It's also conjunct Regulus in his chart, which is conjunct his ascendant. So this is his identity in the world. So in some way, again, and this came up in the recent update I did, this ingress of Uranus into Gemini is shining a light on his identity in the world, his projection in the world. And also Regulus is to do with kingship or assumption of kinship. Leo can be very much the sign of leadership, but it's very important that there is heart in that leadership, that it isn't just egomania, which is the shadow side of Leo. You know, I've arrived, we can start now, is the classic T-shirt for Leo. So here, moving from Taurus to Gemini, very different energy. You know, Taurus wants to take things slowly. It is fixed earth. It's very cautious. It doesn't like sudden change imposed on it. Gemini loves change, loves variety. This is the sign of choice. And I do believe this month, April, I'm filming in April 2026, that we are in the midst of, or about to be in the midst of, quite a significant, a very significant dimensional shift. These will continue through the year like branches and smaller branches coming from a tree, but you will self-select which timeline you are on by your frequency. If you're spending a lot of time in fear and anger and polarization, you are going to see more of that in your reality going forwards. That's not a judgment or an instruction or moral superiority. It's just you get more of what you think about all day long. It's that simple. The universe is just a mirror. So that would lead you on a timeline where there's potentially more war, more technology. It can feel more controlling or more synthetic. If you can really focus on love, then that would lead you in this dimensional split to something more inclusive, more organic, more community-based, which is beautiful. Now, ultimately, we all come back together to unity consciousness. I can't possibly tell you when that's going to happen, because that's down to the collective consciousness of us all. The other thing I'd like, so be acutely aware, more aware than you've ever been of the choices you're making, the thoughts you're thinking, the feelings you're feeling day to day. You know, really be on it, as it were, in a much more conscious way. It's so important because, you know, we are the bridge building generation. All these massive shifts are happening, and we're going to look back at these times as absolutely historic. So make sure that every choice you make, and we can all slip, of course we can, you know, we're human. But, you know, think of that blank canvas that I've talked about so many times. We are now putting layers of paint on the canvas. What are those layers of paint? Are they based on love or are they based on fear? Now, we have an important yod here. It's between Uranus, and this is really coming into sign now, actually, because Uranus has been out of sign for this quincunx at the end of Taurus, but Uranus, 150 degrees from Homer, 3 degrees of Scorpio, and Neptune, 150 degrees from Homer as well, at 3 of Aries, 3 of Scorpio. So this is very interesting, and this will sit there for really the rest of this year. So the sextile between Uranus and Neptune, the conjunction, as I've mentioned recently, was in 1993, and that was really the beginning of the internet technology going viral, Neptune. So for sure, we are going to see major, major, major leaps in technology. I think that's, you know, super obvious to see. Doesn't need me to tell you that. But also, this can be very mystical. A combination of Uranus and Neptune can be that you're experiencing dimensions of reality you never even thought existed. You're shifting dimensions. This is back to our multidimensionality. I think there are going to be many new discoveries, Uranus, about water and all of its forms, all of its different expressions of consciousness, Neptune. I'm going to come back to that theme when I start to talk about the conjunction here to Sedna. Sedna is, Homer, remember, is the Hawaiian goddess of fertility, birthing babies from all over her body. In her fire goddess aspect, she was said to birth the eight islands of Hawaii. Look at the amount of volcanic activity we have all over the world right now. Super active volcanic activity. We've had some very big earthquakes as well. That's Uranus. We've had three 7+ magnitude earthquakes in the last few days. And particularly around the kind of ring of fire, it's been very active. The Pacific Asian ring around there, Indonesia, Philippines, around there. I also feel that we are going to, with this conjunction to Sedna, now this becomes exact with Uranus at the end of May. But even now, this is bringing a whole new wave of awakening. Whole new wave of awakening. And remember the myth of Sedna. And, you know, when I first started to talk about the myth of Sedna, you know, people said, oh, well, that's just, you know, it's just so abstract. How can it possibly have any meaning for today? Well, I think it has a huge amount of meaning for today. You'll have heard me talk about it. It's very easy to find online. But essentially, when Sedna was forced to let go of the boat, the tangible security, the only tangible security she knew, as her father was chopping off her fingers with the oar so he could save himself in the storm, and she floated down to the deep, and her fingers became beautiful new sea creatures of seals and whales, turtles. That was a complete metamorphosis and transmutation. And that's essentially what Sedna represents here. We are going through a biological shift, not just a mental one. It's deeply rooted in our physicality because we've never made this kind of evolutionary jump in our physicality, in our bodies before. But I think it's fascinating. So very much about a big, big wave of awakening, I think could happen round about this time, late April. I think there could be another one in late May when Uranus becomes exact to Sedna. Remember, Uranus is the planet of awakening, you know, clarity, truth. But also, and they're going to go, you know, through waves, and Dr. David Clements has talked about this, a whole series of waves this year. And we are ascending with Gaia. She is going through her own rebirth. That's what all the seismic activity is about. And we are kind of in step. We are in symbiosis with her. But I think what could also be discovered, and I've kind of mentioned this before, Sedna floated down, way, way down to the deep icy Arctic wastes, if you like, seas. And so after the trauma with the betrayal by the patriarchy from her father, chopping off her fingers, didn't care whether she lived or died to save himself, service to self. After that trauma, as she floats down to the deep and becomes a sea goddess, she experiences profound peace and stillness. And if any of you have ever gone diving, you know that overwhelming silence that you get, you know, deep, deep down. It's just deafening silence and it's beautiful. So this is calling us back after trauma to find deep peace, stillness, silence. Those are your go-tos when we move through this very overstimulated, jazzed up period. But I also think we are going to discover new sea life, new sea creatures, new sea plant food. And I've talked about this before when it was last year they discovered a gigantic mountain range, an underwater mountain range off the coast of Chile that they hadn't even realized was there. And when they discovered it, they discovered all kinds of new ecosystems with new plant life that they never knew had existed before. So this is what we're going to see. Uranus is the planet of discovery in the seas, the deep seas, sextile to Neptune, conjunct Sedna. So that's going to be, I think, really thrilling. I also think Uranus in Gemini, because it's to do with our mind. And remember, Uranus is now in an in sign trine to Pluto in Aquarius, ruled by Uranus. Both these air signs are to do with our mind. Gemini is very much our neural network. And I think we are going to have a huge wave of the science of consciousness, better understanding of the science of consciousness, which is going to be absolutely fascinating. Uranus is the planet of, as I say, the outsider, the maverick, and the galactics. So for sure, I think, you know, this is literal translation of the symbolism. We are going to have more galactic communication, Gemini, more galactic connection, more, I think, even galactic languages, because Gemini is to do with languages, light language, you know, many of us are aware of that just happens spontaneously. We don't have to go to classes and study the grammar. It's just a kind of download. There will be more of those. And I think different galactic languages. I think there's going to be a lot of disclosure as we move forwards in these next few months about our galactic family. And really, you know, they have looked after us for a very, very long time. And I think that's going to be an extraordinary leap in consciousness, as well as the rewiring of our brains and, you know, the opening up of our multidimensionality. We are entering extraordinary times. The biggest thing is stay grounded, because there's going to be so much happening up here and out there, apparently, although it's all in here. Stay grounded. Bare feet on the grass, bare feet on the earth. Keep connecting. Do things like breath work, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, you know, breathing and activity that is also grounding. Eat root vegetables, you know, potatoes, parsnips, that's grounding as well. But the simplest and easiest and best thing of the lot, particularly if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and coming into spring, thank goodness, after that winter, is bare feet on the grass. Just feel that connection. This is also very revolutionary energy, even more so than when Uranus was in Taurus, because Gemini is the sign of non-conformism. Never wants to conform, wants to step back and observe and people watch, doesn't want to fit into any particular category because it's mutable, wants to move around, not be too defined. Another literal expression of this is freedom in your everyday life. Gemini's our everyday life. Freedom of speech. Uranus is freedom, Gemini's speech. Freedom of writing in social media, for instance. You know, it's very interesting, and credit to the brilliant astrologer Frank Clifford for reminding us that 1984 was published, I think it was the very last day of Uranus in Gemini. That's really interesting, because that, of course, had been a lot of wartime up to then too. But there's a much stronger sense of sovereignty. I'm going to do my own thing. Rebellious and revolutionary behavior. And remember, starting last August 2025, we entered 10 years of Pluto out of bounds to the south. That amazing, amazing, vast piece of very detailed research that US astrologer Rosie Finn did. I had a conversation with her on my channel. I'll put the link for that below. Extraordinary 20 years of research going back almost 4,000 years. And she found that when Pluto is out of bounds to the south, and we're in that 10-year run now, the power starts to shift back to the people in a very revolutionary way. For instance, 1789, French Revolution, you know, the American Revolution, all of that was Pluto out of bounds to the south. So Uranus moving into Gemini is about more freedom, more day-to-day freedom. I think, and again, this is historically true, if you listen to my previous Uranus in Gemini video, you'll hear me talking about all the developments in aviation, because Uranus was the sky god. So big, big, big developments in aviation from this point on over the next 7 years. Flying is going to be faster. It's going to be the vehicles are going to be faster. They're going to be lighter. Certainly flying cars are becoming available. There's a car called the Aleph, A-L-E-F, made by Aleph Aeronautics. And they have something called a Model A, which is all about city transport. Gemini represents cities. And again, Uranus flying, it's very easy to see that it has a vertical takeoff and landing. It doesn't have too far a distance before it needs recharging, electrical, but it's for city transport, local city transport. I mean, it's so literal. And also in terms of transport, at a previous Uranus in Gemini transit in 1863, and that transit of Uranus through Gemini was 1859 to 1865. So in 1863 was the very beginning of the London Underground, which is so famous. So quick city transport. Uranus is always to do with quick city transport. Already, certainly in China, and it's developing in Japan and South Korea, they are using what are called maglev trains, M-A-G-L-E-V, and L-E-V, rather. And that literally means magnetic levitation. And the one in China, I think, is the fastest passenger train in the world at 375 miles an hour. Extremely fast, extremely quiet. And again, this is air, isn't it? It's quiet. It's not loud and noisy. But it works on a process of repelling magnetism. So the trains actually travel 4 inches above the ground. Think of air. They're in the air, which, of course, reduces the resistance of being right on the ground. And extraordinary. So these are spreading across the world. And this is, you know, a whole new episode for that kind of fast travel. Communication, for sure. Yeah, so communication, if you go back to previous Gemini, Uranus and Gemini cycles, we had the development of the printing press. We had the first newspaper appearing in Germany in, I think that was 1609. And Gutenberg invented the first printing press. And the written word became a means by which revolution could be formed across geographies. Because now there was a method of communication that was kind of beyond the Pony Express that they had in America. And so the written word became an instrument of revolution. Remember that Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury. Mercury, very much about day-to-day communication. Uranus always upgrades. Uranus always upgrades. Development of the internet, as I said, around about 1993, that was the Uranus-Neptune conjunction, technology goes viral. And in 2011, the Arab Spring, and this was a square between Uranus and Pluto, but Uranus was very highlighted here. The Arab Spring was organized via social media because young people could communicate via, you know, Twitter, X, whatever, Instagram, to organize their social protests, which brought down fossilized governments, been there for decades, in days, because it undercut the normal oversight of those governments. So this is the, you know, kind of thing, using social media in a, you know, very clever way. Of course, this is going to be an explosion in AI. Of course, it's absolutely exponential. Isn't it interesting that Google have called their AI Gemini? Can't make it up. I do think, however, there's going to be an explosion in independent journalism, independent Uranus journalism writing Gemini, much more than we've seen in recent years when everything has been so constrained. I believe we're going to have different internets, different social media platforms that are censorship-free. Censorship-free. That will be a big deal, particularly with that echo of 1984. So, yes, opening up of our multidimensionality, communication with many, many different life forms, plants, trees, animals, galactic beings, all of it. It will be immensely exciting. You know, it will be a whole different era for humanity that we've never experienced before. Most of us haven't experienced before up to this point. Uranus, I believe, is also very connected to light. And part of the reason I think that, one of the last times that Uranus was in Gemini, the Dutch scientist Huygens, Huygens, in 1690, discovered that light could be a wave and a particle. And I think we are going to discover an enormous amount about light, not just that water is condensed light, as Veda so beautifully says, but really understanding the different spectrums of light, the importance of natural sunlight for our health. We're going to have to move country, I think, for that one. Natural sunlight is immensely important in ways that we, you know, may not have been fully cognizant of before. I think we are actually embodying a new geometry of light, a new geometry of light. So the other area that I think will grow a lot, and oh, by the way, yes, just remember that Uranus currently is semi-square to Selassie in that chart I just showed you. So Selassie is linked to the shimmering sunlight, moonlight on the seas. I think she's very linked to this high frequency light, which we're experiencing right now. So discoveries about light. So yes, I do believe we're embodying a new frequency of light, which is changing our internal structure from carbon to crystalline. And that's why a lot of us are experiencing symptoms. We're extremely tired. We all know that. I think breath work will become a much wider practice because Gemini rules the lungs. In a previous transit of Uranus through Gemini, Jacques Cousteau invented the aqualung. So it rules the lungs. So I think breath work as a way to master your mind, master your frequency, and also really achieve altered states. Breath work will become a much bigger deal because you've always got it with you. It's all for free. It travels with you. And there's a particular practice which was used very widely by the yogis, which is holding on the exhale. And a professor, he's passed away now some years ago, called Professor Buteyko, he developed a whole breathwork protocol holding on the exhale. And he helped many, many people cure their asthma by doing that. The Indian yogis, they said that they developed their magical powers, their siddhis, as they called them, by holding longer and longer on the exhale. I practice Soma breath every day, and you can find him, you know, website very easily. And he's Niraj also has a, he's a brilliant musician. He also has a YouTube channel. So you can start investigating some of his breathwork practices there. But breathwork in order to change our frequency, our mental state, and even develop some altered states in a very magical way, I think that will become much more widespread. Huge number of new healing technologies, huge. They're popping up all over the place, new ideas, innovations. We will really, really, really get, and I've said this several times before, that energy and frequency underpin everything. Everything is energy and frequency. Everything. It always has been. We just haven't fully realised that. But we're going to be able to sense it, see it, sense it, feel it in a much bigger way. And really remember, turn inwards, find stillness, find peace, find calm. Because that is one of the greatest gifts we can give to the collective to help people in horrendous situations currently. You know, war, poverty, hunger, horrendous. The fastest way we can help them is to actually energetically shift the collective consciousness. And we know that that can shift in a very short time, minutes. I mean, look at Lynn McTaggart's site about evidence. You know, there's so much research about this. Joe Dispenza's work is extraordinary. Greg Braden's work, HeartMath Institute. You know, there's 10 tons of it out there. So the fastest way we can efficiently shift the collective consciousness to help our brothers and sisters who are suffering is to master our frequency, because whatever what frequency you're broadcasting, your reality is assembling itself around that frequency. Your reality is your barometer of how you're doing with that. And clearly, you know, if you're living in a war zone, that's not going to be great. And so we have to up our game to help our brothers and sisters. So with all of this kind of very fast dynamic energy that's very overstimulated, very hyped, it's very easy for your nervous system to be frazzled. Strongly suggest that as well as grounding, you spend more time in nature in general. I go out on a morning walk in ancient woodland, non-negotiable in any weather. I said that often. Thank the sun as it comes up every day. Particularly if you live in the UK, I'm thrilled. Send love to the trees. Every glass of water you drink, bless it and send love to it. So as you move through your days, thanking the sun, sending love to the trees, love to the animals, love to the plants, blessing your water, you'll find that in that sort of constant stream of gratitude and love, for large parts of the day, you are in a state of grace, of joy, of bliss, almost a sacred state, I want to say, of divinity. And I'm really, really trying to be conscious of doing this myself. I mean, I can easily drop into this in nature. Just, you know, usually walking on my own with my neighbor's dog, who I love to bits. But just really feel that, particularly spring here now, that everything is electrical. It's, you know, it's coming to life, new life forming. And have a sense of the sacred, rebirth, a sense of divinity in everything you see, in everything you consume, everything you connect with. You know, this is a time of really, really getting back in touch with the earth. And I think that yod to Homer is about that too. Homer's symbolism is really about regeneration, not just the new land masses coming up potentially, but regenerating ourselves internally, biologically. I absolutely think that's happening. And also things like regenerative farming. And I've mentioned before, I think Homer and Scorpio is very linked to stem cell medicine with your own individual stem cells, nobody else's. So really try and cultivate that Zen beginner's mind. You know, if you're in nature, you know, can you imagine it's the very first time you've seen an oak tree? It's the very first time you've heard a bird sing. I was doing that this morning. You know, it's really beautiful because it's just so simple and joyful and in the moment, Uranus, in the moment. Because we are absolutely the bridge builders right now. Couldn't be more important. So just allow the old systems to collapse under their own corruption. I think we're seeing that incredibly loudly and noisily and clearly. Just let it all go. Focus on what you want to create. And we are creating these stepping stones of light. I know we are, because, you know, there's so many people having experiences with the meditation that I initiated, but with, you know, many people's meditations, that they're experiencing these heightened moments of bliss and oneness that are much bigger for them than they've ever known before. So we are actually collectively birthing a whole new way of being, a whole new way of being, and really feel excited about that. Throw yourself into it. Focus on creation. Focus on love. Focus on peace. Focus on stillness. Focus on compassion, gratitude, all of those things. And even by the end of this year, I think so much will have changed in the world. So much will have changed for each of us personally. And we'll be able to look back with pride and say, # look what love built. God bless. I hope that's helped you. Bye for now. And be back soon with another update. God bless. Bye for now. Thank you.
the one and only great Jethro Tull. And that's a piece called Boule, which actually was written by J.S. Bach, Joseph Sebastian Bach, about 300 or 400 years ago. Cool stuff, eh? So you've heard Pam Gregory talking about all the things that are happening and what's going on all the time. Now, Lee Harris thinks that telepathic intuition is increasing. So here he is talking about dimensional disorientation.
Dimensional disorientation. Here's the theme. Where are you positioned now and how are you doing with it? Many are accessing new and higher states of being, and it can affect your sense of balance and normality. Old ways and things that no longer have the same pull or identification for you, which is really an ongoing ascension symptom, is quickening for more people now in tandem with the unraveling of the old outer world. But intense releases from your past can accompany this. And then feelings of invincibility or strong energy or great courage and new patterning can follow. So this is really, I mean, it's a classic ascension symptom for those of us who've, you know, been through our ascension journey for, we've been at this a long time, but more people are going through it than ever before. So more people will feel dimensionally disoriented. So where before the norm might have been a lower state of being, a lower way of being, and it wouldn't have felt low to us because it may have been at that point our evolution, you know. Right now, there is this literal splitting of the worlds energetically on Earth that is creating a sense of human disorientation, which is psychological and emotional in nature, but also energetically, we have this dimensional disorientation as people are having more cosmic experiences, more energetic experiences, more intuitive experiences, and it can pull you around. And you can start to wonder, where is the gravity? Where is the middle? And usually, it's different for all of us, but usually there is a period of time where you feel a bit like you're not even really here. Or you're like, wow, I'm walking through my life like it's all normal, but I don't feel like I'm seeing things from the same vantage point as I was, or feeling things from the same vantage point as I was. And that disorientation is part of the process. During that too, you may have intense recall from your past, old memories, old experiences, flushing through your body, flooding through your body. And it might feel like regression, but usually it's a pocket of energy that we are going to, if you like, compost, and we're going to use that energy and we're going to bring it to new life force. But we often have to unpack, heal, or recall or revisit the moment that energy became compacted. So let's say you were very badly bullied and you no longer feel like you're bullied, and you've got yourself to a place in your life where you've worked on your self-esteem and all the things that bullying may have taken from you, or states that were lower that the bullying put you into. You might now be 55, very happy, living a good life, and all of a sudden this memory of the bullying comes through your body and it's intense. It's okay when that happens. It's our body and our energy field releasing something that at the time we either couldn't feel, couldn't release, or it wouldn't have been good for us to really be highly aware of it. But as it's about to rebirth, as we're about to let go of that old story, we often revisit the feeling. So that's what I mean by intense releases from the past can accompany this. And then feelings of invincibility or great courage or new patterning will follow. You know, we often have to take a couple of steps back before we take three steps forward. It's not how it happens for everybody. We're all a bit different. But for many of us, and for the majority of people who are sensitive and tapped into their emotional selves, that can be part of the process. So, theme number two in the inner world, telepathic intuition is increasing. Telepathic intuition is increasing. There is an increase, apparently, in people knowing and sensing each other, and it's happening now. So you may feel increasingly connected to the thoughts, feelings, and knowings of others. This is worldwide, and more people are experiencing it slowly but surely. Now, You know, for many of us who have some intuitive wiring in us for a long time, this might not seem like it's going to make much of a change for you, but actually it will, because it will, in a way, make your life easier. It will make that part of you that is very good at intuitively sensing the world and communicating in some ways, it will give you more people to have that resonance with. So the good news, if you're already intuitive, is it's going to make you feel a little less alone and a little more like you are part of a worldwide tribe. For those of you who have never been intuitive before, your biggest hurdle might be believing that it's happening. So the thing about intuition is test it. You know, that's what I always advise. It's very good to test your intuition and to see if it's valid. So if you've got a trusted friend who you're thinking of, and then they call you, you know, ask them, hey, I was thinking of you. When were you thinking of calling me? You know, if there's someone in your life that's safe, that you can ask about these experiences just to test it. I think one of the greatest disservices that has been done to us is this idea that intuition is this special, otherworldly thing. I do not think it is at all. I think it's part of how we're built, and I think it's part of how we're constructed. It's just we were talked out of it, and we were told to be afraid of it. It's actually a natural part of our sensory evolution here as beings, and it's a part of our power and our skill, our ability, and it's also a part of our safety. You know, having an intuition helps you discern and decide where to go, who to go with. You have that gut feeling or that gut knowing. Well, telepathic intuition is more showing up now for more people, where you might be thinking of someone and they call you, or you might be having thoughts about someone and wondering if they're okay, and then the next day they tell you, oh, I've been having a really rough time. So that's what that will look like, and it's increasing in frequency, which is a good thing. Okay, theme number three on the inner world side. You are allowed to be you. You are allowed to be you. Where is this experience not showing up in your life? Or where is the opposite reality being shown to you? Notice where you are allowed to be you, and notice where you aren't. Don't confuse this with being liked and accepted or appreciated or everything going your way. But know you are allowed to be you. This is the end of people pleasing. So firstly, you are allowed to be you. I see a sentence like that as I'm receiving it and typing it out, and I think, God, there are so many places in the world, in our world right now, where we're being told we aren't allowed to be us on so many levels. So on the outer world, we're having a lot of the opposite being affirmed to us, certainly by the existing systems that have control. But on a personal level, partly because of that, you will be less tolerant of modifying yourself, people-pleasing, staying silent, because you're going to feel more raw, and you're going to feel the need for you to be fully you in a time like this. We all need to be as fully us as we can right now. So notice where you are allowed and where you aren't. Notice the people in your life who are happy for you to be you, and notice the people who want to judge you, belittle you, shame you, try and tell you off for being you, and just notice that and go, huh, might not be able to hang out with these people quite as much right now because that doesn't feel true to me. I'm being stopped by another human. But remember, and this is really important, don't confuse you being you with a guarantee that you're going to be liked, accepted, appreciated, or everything's going to go your way. That's very different. Those are two very different things. People pleasing might lead you to some of those outcomes. But actually, when you're fully yourself, there will be some people that won't like you, or won't like what you said, or won't like what you did because they're in opposition, or they have a judgmental opinion about you, and there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do about that. So know that you are allowed to be you, and that the part of you that perhaps used to modify yourself or people please or stay silent, you don't need to do that anymore unless you choose to. If it's painful for you to do that now, you're going to find yourself busting out of it and remembering, I am allowed to be myself. We are all going to die one day. And of course, you know, the soul is not going to die, but we as humans in this identity, in this form of us, we are all going to die at some point. And the wisdom that we learn from people who are at the end of their life or know they haven't got much life left to live, they all say, I wish I'd just been more myself. They say other things too, but that's one of the things they say, the things that they're worrying about or societal concerns, they go out the window. This is that kind of time. So good luck with your journey of remembering you are allowed to be you. It's a journey and it's an uncovering, but it's an important one. Finally, anger, sadness, and grief as movement toward expression and making changes. Anger, sadness, and grief as movement toward expression and making changes. Remember, these feelings and emotions often come up for us before we make a big shift in our life or before our perception or experience of life really changes. So anger, sadness, and grief, there is a lot of that going around right now, and it may have been moving through you, but sometimes it's what moves you towards expressing yourself differently or making changes you need to make. So interesting, you know, as I say those words, making changes you need to make, I'm like, God, this is a time on earth where a lot of people understandably would be afraid to make changes or would be hesitant about making changes or would think, oh, I'm just going to wait for everything to calm down before I make changes. And that's not the message I'm hearing. I'm hearing if you feel like you need to make a change, do it. And again, make the change you're sure of or that you feel pretty confident in. Don't make a change you're very, very hesitant about or you have a lot of fear about it. That's telling you your body isn't ready to move into it. You might be thinking about it, you might get there, or it might just be good for you to sit in the possibility of it. But if your fear is so strong, it's going to unground your action. Wait is always my advice. But a lot of you will be able to make really powerful changes in April, despite the wavy world, despite the tumult that we're seeing. It's going to be a month of big action. And that's not just action in the outer world, it's action that we will take. And we will make some big moves. So good luck with everything you're doing. And to bring all of this together, I'd like to invite you to just do a little meditation with me. I did this last month and many of you commented you liked it. So we're gonna do that again. Okay, let's take a moment together. So we just took in a lot of information. We maybe moved through a certain amount of emotion, movement, energy, but let's just take three steady breaths. So in through the nose, nice and steady, and out through the mouth. And one more. And if you wish to, take your palms face down, place one over your belly button, your navel, and place one over the center of your chest, your heart chakra. And we're just going to say a few affirmations together. And as with any affirmations, do not say them unless you want to. Listen to what I say, and if you agree that it's right for you to say it, then you can repeat it with me the second time. I am allowed to be here on earth. I am allowed to be here on earth. I came here for these times of movement. I came here for these times of movement. I am attracting love into my life. I am attracting love into my life. I am visualizing a more peaceful world. I am visualizing a more peaceful world. I am allowed to be me in this world. I am allowed to be me in this world. I am a vessel of light, and I allow myself to receive light now. I am a vessel of light, and I allow myself to receive light now. I will find my community in all of its forms. I will find my community in all of its forms. I am ready to know oneness and love. I am ready to know oneness and love. I am here today as love. I am here today as love. And we'll take three breaths in through the nose, nice and steady, out through the mouth. Okay.
The voice within, your connection between this world and the next.
Again, the message from Lee is about things that are happening this month. There's Lee again, and he's talking to Tammy from Sounds True One. What an important message from the Zs, the Zs.
I asked you how the Zs work through you, and you said that one possibility when you're really having them speak through you is that you shut your eyes and your voice sounds different. And you know where I'm going here, Lee.
Yeah, I just worked that out, Tammy. And they usually say something and then they'll ask you for questions. So we'll see how it goes. But that's the usual thing. Good. Welcome. A pleasure to be with you. We will speak first to you, Tammy. Then we will speak to your audience, for want of a better term. We will say your community. Tammy, you have always had a fast mind. It is part of your brilliance, and your mind is somewhat cosmic in its intelligence. It is why you have always wanted to look into the broader topics, but to find the detail and the specifics within those broader topics to help distill and bring this wisdom to others. So you are a, we will call it, a fan of wisdom. You are a distributor of wisdom. You are in service to wisdom. And you yourself are entering what will be the best period of your life, which is the next 20 to 30 years for you. There will be much that will bloom in your life and in the world at large, which you will greatly enjoy. So to your community, part of the gathering here is similar. On Earth, whenever there is a figurehead for a movement or a teaching or a way of being, those who follow the figurehead are usually in two camps. They are either aligned with the figurehead and already identify with much of what the figurehead stands for, or they are seeking more of what the figurehead is offering. So in your community, Tammy, there are at least 35% of your listeners who very much resonate with your, we will call it, cosmic and fast intelligence, which you are now bringing down into your body. In many ways, Tammy, your role in this life was to shake up what we will call the academia imprint, meaning you could and have in many lives been what we would call a fine academic on Earth. So in this lifetime, you decided to be one of the bridges for those with a highly curated academic mind to allow them to come back to the realm of the senses, the higher mind, and the divine intelligence that moves down through the mind, the third eye, and the throat to the heart, where it all centers for the coming generations. So, to your last question to Lee about how people who are struggling right now might find themselves, we will say the biggest key for all of you is to find the new. Find the new. Why? So much in your world is necessarily changing. It is becoming outdated, outgrown, and in many cases, it is shaking in its system. So there are systems on Earth that you have all been in for hundreds of years that are beginning to rapidly change. Why we say to you, look for the new in your own life is, if you are dealing with too much death energy, which equates to loss, change, transformation from recognizable circumstances and relationships into unrecognizable circumstances and relationships, If you are dealing with too much death and loss energy without enough new birth energy coming in, the balance starts to get heavy. So, any of you who are struggling and have been for quite some time, what new thing, person, doing, feeling would you like to bring into your life? And allow yourself to let that new in. And notice if when we ask you to bring in something new, you get agitated, defensive, against this idea. Notice that part of you and ask that part of you, why so afraid of the new? What do you think you can't handle in the future? What do you think you are not equipped for in the future? And what we will tell you, many of you, is the levels of love that you so often crave and say you crave and look for and want and speak about and write songs about, you actually fear. Because there is a level of ego death that occurs in love. And you have to remember that on your planet, many humans are constantly trying to reassure each other about their human ego. And that's the game that's being played. We're not saying all are, and most of you will not be, shall we say, spending time with those people as much as you are with those who are at least looking for peace or love to be a part of their daily reality and what they bring to the world. So, love is the thing you all seek. And understandably, the enormous power of love and its ability to dissolve all previous wounds, contracts, if allowed to fully blast through the energy field of a human, it will change you in ways that you aren't always ready for. So this is why, as Lee alluded to, we are always telling you all to be kind to yourself about your own progress. You may perceive that you are not where you should be, but we would say if that's where you find yourself in the present moment, that's exactly where you should be. Perhaps the reason you are having these thoughts is because it is going to lead you down a path of reflecting on recent behaviors, choices that got you to this point so that you can learn from them for the future and not make those same choices again. Good. Now we will ask you if you have any questions for us.
Well, I found that profound. So first, thank you. And what I notice is that the love that is most alive in my heart is an expression of service. And I notice I feel a little shy saying that. Like, really? You could talk to this great, powerful 88-person intelligence about anything, and this is what you want to bring forward? But it's the core energy that lives inside of me. And the people who are tracking, who are still listening right now to you and me, I'm going to believe they care about this. So let's end our conversation and thank you, oh, Force of Z's, with your advice, recommendations, pointers on the expression of pure service at this time.
Well, firstly, we will point out that there is no need to see us as some great intelligence greater than your own. This is also the paradigm that is going to change on Earth in the coming decades. There is going to be more of a fusion and more of an understanding that there are, shall we say, thinning veils all over the planet when it comes to interdimensional communication. And that is what you are experiencing right now. But you are experiencing it because you are capable of creating it and opening up to it. That is the power of humanity. And the reason that you speak of service and the reason that you enjoy serving love is because love is an energy field that is not solely in your body. When you connect to love, you are never just connecting to yourself. Even if you are doing it from a meditation that is purely focused on you and your well-being, your nervous system, love is a frequency field. It's an energy field that exists on the planet. And when you walk back into it with another person, you start to amplify it and re-illuminate it. So to be in service to love is of the highest order. For on this planet at this time, love is the force that is most needed. And yes, there are many loving humans on Earth. But there are also those with agendas who would rather see love left behind, and instead they prefer control, hierarchy, what we would call the old ways of Earth. And there are those who have been, we will say, cast at this time to rise and be the figureheads for the opposite of love. as you in society go through this transformation. So, to your question, to serve love in your own life will see you automatically serving love in the world. If you were to give some focus every day to something you love, you will start to feel the frequency of love more often. And as you feel the frequency of love more often, you will naturally be a more benevolent, sharing force of love. Think of the day where you are not so good in yourself. You are a little down, you are a little upset, and somebody is loving toward you, kind toward you, smiles at you, gives you a gift, does something nice. Ah, a little lift in your energy field. See how love is handed on. See how love is a shared energy, and sometimes you are too tired to give it. So instead, you open and allow yourself to receive it. Love is a flowing force, and it is a building force. So the reason those of you who are here for service and here for opening your hearts and here for love are perhaps a little afraid of love is because you have no idea how big it can get. You have no idea how the more you are willing to evaporate the old construct of what you thought reality was, and the more you are willing to allow in the new construct of your reality, which is a reality and a life that is rooted more deeply in love, then you are not only creating a different world for yourself, you are contributing toward an entirely different, we will call it, frequency midpoint on Earth. At the moment, the frequency midpoint on Earth is not love. If you take the average of all the frequencies on Earth right now, unfortunately, you are a little tipped into fear as a society. And that is being perpetrated, by the way. That is being created very deliberately by certain powers that be that would like to see you remain in the power of fear. Because in the power of fear, you are more powerless. In the power of love, you become more powerful.
This is a good place for us to end what I'm going to call part one of my conversation with Lee Harris here on Insights at the Edge and our connection with the Z's. I look forward to talking with you again sometime in the future, Lee. I've enjoyed it so much. There's something about what you're bringing through that feels pure, helpful, and deeply inspiring to me. So thank you so very, very much. Lee Harris, author of the new book, The Future Human, and two volumes called Conversations with the Z's. You can visit him online at his community called The Portal. Thank you so much.
Voice within, your connection between this world and the next. brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
This week sees the end of school holidays, and Friday is the last chance to come and make a sun catcher. You come in the shop and you make your own sun catcher. The children, mums do them as well. So the information about it's on the website. My introduction to spirit is on again on next Wednesday, and we'll be talking about psychic drawing. Next month coming up is our 20th anniversary, would you believe? 20 years of Infinity in Hamilton City Central. So look out for that information coming up. And also, we've got new tarot courses coming up, but that's later on the month. All the information's on the website, infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I am Barry, it's been The Wise Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May our God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.